Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations on over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You know, long.
Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs. Good morning, and it is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5, The Drive with Say and Piper. I am Lante, back in the driver's seat. I had forgotten how to download something, so I told Derek in desperation, I better run the board for a second, because if you let me, I'll completely forget how to do any of this, and then I'm really out the door, I would assume. So Derek Piper's to my left today, no Kyle Tosk, still on vacation, and to boot, I called Kyle before I called you. Because I thought, well, he's going to remember what I type in. I'm not even going to try to explain it because everybody listening at home would be like, what are you talking about? So I called Kyle and he didn't answer. So.
Good for him.
He's already doing the, nope, I'm on vacation. I'm not answering my phone. That's the only time I've called him. I was going to need him for literally 15 seconds and he doesn't answer the phone. So now I know what we got out of Kyle.
Good job, Kyle.
Rob's in the background. Guess what? You know, sometimes you need that person when you send out resumes to. Yep. Kyle just wasted his chance. All right. We promised yesterday all the show.
Suspect availability.
Right. We promised yesterday on the show that we would talk some football and we never got to it. So today we will try to run
promise
through.
It again, but maybe not get to it.
Yeah, you never know with us and see how it goes. So, but we will try to the, 24/7 ran a, or basically predicted win totals over unders for all of the Big Ten teams. We thought we would go through those and give our thoughts. Now, football, unlike basketball, there's so many players, there's so many things that you can't pay attention to unless it's your team. Or unless you're just a ridiculous diehard, right? And just you read every magazine possible. But I certainly don't know what Michigan lost or what Penn State gained. I think Penn State's going to be really good, and Illinois's got to play them. But we'll go through that a little bit and kind of focus more on Illinois to see kind of what we think of that. Also had a listener text in yesterday about what away game for Illinois would be the one that you would want to attend, and I know you and I have some thoughts on that. So we'll bring that up as we go along today. The Cardinals win last night. Now, here's the funny part. I know the Cubs lost, but everybody else in the division won. So you get a rare home – well, actually, a rare home win is about right – against the Houston Astros and against a pitcher that had been – what, he'd won his last seven starts – so you get the victory, and yet you do not gain any ground, essentially, on the majority of the Central. But you know what? You've put yourself in this spot, so guess what? Now you got to deal with this kind of stuff.
You do. It's nice to beat a pitcher of the quality of Framber Valdez and to be able to be set up to now get really tested with your schedule, facing the Astros and the Yankees.
Woo.
And then the Marlins, who aren't too shabby themselves, sitting there in second place in the NL East. So we're really going to find out if the Cardinals are going to be able to get themselves back into this or whether you're not in a great spot going forward towards that trade deadline, which I mentioned to you before the show. There was an interesting article on The Athletic yesterday. Ken Rosenthal wrote about the Cardinals' approach going into the trade deadline and that maybe they should go outside of their normal, whether it's being aggressive one way or the other, being buyers and really trying to fix the issues that are there and parting ways with some young hitters in particular. The Cardinals usually not one of those knee-jerk reaction, too aggressive type of teams, or you can also sell, like legitimately, and admit that this season isn't going anywhere and maybe the Cardinals need to just take more of a long-term view at this and get rid of Paul Goldschmidt potentially, which I know a lot of Cardinals fans, even those that have already written this season off, probably a little hesitant on getting rid of the guy that just won the MVP last year. But, yeah, on the note of beating the Astros, we'll see how this the rest of the series goes. You got Christian Javier on the mound for the Astros tonight, another good pitcher. Miles Michaelis toeing the hill for the Cardinals at home. I don't know. I'm still so meh on the Cardinals.
Because right when you want to get excited, then they lose two in a row.
But the Reds just won't cool off.
No, and beating Baltimore.
They're beating Baltimore. They're 16-9 in June, and it's a team that's not going anywhere. And yeah, even though the Cubs took a loss last night to the Phillies, Jameson Taillon has been a pretty disastrous signing.
He really has.
He's been pretty awful. But
they're Cubs, only 3.5 back.
Only 3.5 back. I know that Rosenthal mentioned this, and we've talked about it. You've got two really good starters you feel good about, and that Stroman and Steele are top three in the NL and ERA.
Wow.
And if they get one more legit arm, if they could go out there in the trade deadline and get that, this Cubs team could be a real player down the stretch in the division.
I would agree with that, and I'm with you 100% in the sense that I think the Cubs should be buyers. Maybe not crazy buyers, but they should go and definitely look for that third, kind of that number three guy that could solidify a rotation when you get to the playoffs, because again, that's what it's all about, right? I know you got to make the playoffs, don't get me wrong, but only being 3.5 back and understanding that you're still in a division that's not very good. The AL Central, though, has given you a run. I mean, the White Sox feel like they've had the worst season again, and they're 5.5 back. There is nobody over 500 in the American League Central. So that division is probably putrid, the worst, I guess. But the NL Central is not far behind at all. And, of course, you've got the Brewers, which is a team that I still think wins this division now that the Cardinals are kind of so far back. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure the Cardinals can do it. But
I saw some people calling the Central, that being in reference to the NL Central and some of the comments on The Athletic, the Comedy Central. And maybe that applies for both of those. Yes. On both the NL and the AL side.
I would agree 100%. So I think the Cubs should be and probably will be buyers a little bit in terms of trying to maybe help the relief, maybe first base, try to get someone that could play first base, maybe if you can find a decent guy there. So, and then, of course, that third pitcher would be great. And if you can solidify a couple of those, I think the Cubs would have a really good chance and then kind of be dangerous, if you ask me, maybe even in the playoffs because of what you said at the top of the order with Stroman and Steele and how good they've been. I mean, if you've got pitchers that can shut down the other team, which those two have proven to do all season, you've got a chance to win a division or a playoff series. So on that note, the Cardinals would you agree with that with the Cubbies?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that this thing is open for even what looks like on paper to be a fairly mediocre team in the grand scheme of things, but their lineup has been up and down. It's been inconsistent. They, of course, have had some pockets of being pretty hot and dangerous, and then also about a month there in May, it seemed like they just completely cooled off. But Horner, Swanson, Morel has been a really nice shot in the arm for them, guy that provides power for sure, and if they can get more production out of the first base position. And I just think I'm not saying that they traded a lot of those bullpen pieces last trade deadline, so it's not a lockdown eighth and ninth for them in that type of a sense. So if they could maybe bolster that and also get a starting pitcher, I just don't know maybe what they're willing to give up. Or Kyle's mentioned before that they've been able to stockpile their farm system and put them in a better position they've been in previous years. I wonder what they'd be willing to give up to try to win now, but not to go too far, because no one's going to right. assume that the Cubs are going to make an addition or two and all of a sudden be better than the Braves. So that's what puts you in an interesting situation if you're in this division, whether you're the Reds, whether you're the Cubs, even if the Cardinals want to try to go for it, just kind of that long view of, yeah, we could maybe win the division, get to the postseason, but we're still a ways away from really trying to get to the World Series and contend.
Yeah, and just making the playoffs isn't worth trading some of your young talent for. I'm sorry, but it's just not. And then you look at the Cardinals. What do you think of Paul Goldschmidt? What would you say if I came in through the door and said, did you just hear the news? Paul Goldschmidt's been traded. Would your initial thought be, oh, no? Or would you be probably of, well, who'd they get? Because was it worth it? But, I mean, they would get a pretty good – I think they would –
You'd get a good haul because you still have the rest of this year and next year of control for whoever's going to get him. He's pretty much maybe a little bit behind what he was last year, but still the type of guy that's a top 10 MVP candidate in that type of a sense. He's, what, 35 years old?
I think so.
I think he's going to be 37 at the end of his contract. So I think his value is probably about as high as it's going to be if you are going to dish him. I would worry about what that means for Nolan Arenado because, well, he opted back into his contract and he has a no-trade clause. He was pretty displeased there in Colorado thinking that he was part of an organization that wasn't really trying to win now.
Good call.
So maybe he would then say, hey, now you got to trade me too because – I'm not signing up for a rebuild here.
Yeah.
That would worry me some, and just because of, you know, our offense already, I say our, the Cardinals offense already has inconsistency, and it's frustrating sometimes where the pitching actually will be good and you don't get the run support. It's already not a top 10 offense or a top 5 offense in particular, and you take Goldie out of there. I would just wonder what the window then would look like. Are we just going to be okay with losing this year, maybe not being contenders next year? And that's just a weird spot to be in for Cardinals organization. The last 15 years has been in it pretty much every season.
I would say this. I think Paul Goldschmidt is untouchable. I don't think they would trade him because, as you pointed out, you still have him next year. You still have Nolan Arenado. You still have some pieces on this team that can be dangerous. And as stupid as it sounds, as bad as they've played this season, I would go into next year if you do a couple of things, especially on the pitching side. I would go into next season almost saying, yeah, I think they could win the division. I don't think there's any doubt. And if you're gonna go deep in the playoffs, not only do you have to have the pitching, granted, you have to have guys like Nato and Goldie that are MVP-level guys come through. And I know the last time they were in the playoffs – especially Arenado didn't do anything, and I know that frustrated him. And Goldie wasn't great, I don't think, if I recall. But those two, as good as they are, finishing, what, first and third last year in the MVP race, you know they have the talent to be able to carry you. So in my mind, you keep Paul Goldschmidt. And if you want to trade guys that are on the final year, you know, a guy like Jordan Montgomery, who I wish – they would kick the tires on down the road. I don't know why you can't sign him to a 3-year deal and keep him in this rotation. I personally like, I know last night he was 6 2/3. I think he gave up one earned run. I think they gave up 2 runs, but one was not earned because Donovan booted the first. That's the second game in a row, by the way, we've had a player boot a first pitch ground ball. And it's like, what in the world? But one earned run, 6 strikeouts, 1 walk. His strikeout to walk ratio is solid this year. I don't know why Jordan Walker's not part of your conversation for the future, because otherwise you don't have really any other pitchers ready to roll except for Miles Michaelis. So Jack Flaherty, I would tempt him. I'd throw him out there a little bit to see kind of what someone would offer for you and hope that they still think he's got the ability to be a one down the road. Can he be?
Probably
I don't know.
Probably wouldn't get a ton for him.
I wouldn't think so either is the problem. And so a guy like that, maybe Paul DeJong, who's actually playing pretty well. Now, he's got tie-ins for the next 2 seasons that could keep him in a Cardinals uniform, but you got Mason Winn waiting in AAA. And while Paul DeJong has had a pretty good season, in fact, last night he homered, then he had a sack fly with 2 ribbies, I just don't trust him over the long haul. And if you're going to win divisions and win playoff series, I don't think it's with Paul DeJong. I apologize. I'm sure, you know, he's an Illinois State guy. I think that's a great story, but I just don't think that's the case. And, you know, another guy like you mentioned the other day, the problem is how hurt is he and how does that affect his trade value is Tyler O'Neill. because he's a guy that is would be, I would think, tantalizing. Is that the right word for another organization that would sit there and go, man, if he ever figured it out and was able to play closer to a ceiling level than a floor and stay healthy, that he could be really good. And I know I've seen reports like the Yankees are kind of interested in Tyler O'Neill. Maybe, I mean, he's from Canada. Maybe a Toronto would be interested. I mean, fit that team perfect, wouldn't he, in terms of mashing the ball. But the problem is, can he stay healthy? Mm-hmm. And how frustrating would it be for the Cardinals to get rid of him and then he stay healthy and he turn into Randy Arozarena or the young man from the Rangers. That's
Adolis Garcia. Yeah. There's got to be that looming fear, but also we've talked about the difference between guys like Garcia and Arozarena that didn't really get their shot with the Cardinals.
Right.
O'Neill has been in the mix enough the last handful of seasons that and had a really good, you know, top five MVP finish. What was that, 2020?
Yeah, sounds 2020, about right.
2021?
I thought it was maybe before it was COVID. Yeah, I think it was.
Oh, before COVID.
I'm sorry. Was
it 19?
It wasn't the
Has
COVID
it been
year.
That year, that long?
No, probably 21. It wasn't the COVID year, I don't think. I don't think it was
I don't think
COVID.
It was. I think it was 21.
Okay, that sounds about right.
21.
Okay.
And he was eighth in the MVP voting, 34 home runs, .286 average, and yeah, had a really nice year, 80 RBIs, but and I'll bring up some snippets because there are some. Ken Rosenthal did not pull any punches, and he, one point that he did make is a guy like O'Neill's value has definitely tanked a decent amount here recently with the injuries. I don't think Dylan Carlson is near as valuable as the Cardinals definitely thought he was
no.
a year ago when we were talking about Juan Soto and whatnot. But one way, if you are into the sell, I know Scott is weighing in on the U of I Atlantic text line saying they should sell for once big time. And with Jordan Walker, with Nolan Gorman, with Mason Wynn, mm-hmm. there's some pillar type of pieces there in your lineup, young guys
yeah.
that will be around for a while. What the Cardinals lack is really top-end pitching prospects.
There's no doubt. They've got they've got a couple that
I know. Great, is it Grace?
Grassifico or however you say it? I can't. He's
Graceffo
or something like
Graceffo
that.
Is one of them. Tink Hentz mm-hmm. is one of them. But guys that are still unproven, I haven't been up to the big league level. I'm questioning what this ultimate ceiling is for someone like Libertor.
Right.
If you could trade Goldie and know you're getting someone's number one pitching prospect, now you traded Arozarena and got Libertor, who was the Rays' top pitching prospect, and we haven't seen it yet. There's the risk of trading.
The one time the Rays don't do the right thing in terms of
they did.
Well, yeah, they did the right thing. They got rid of him. They knew that maybe he wasn't.
It would just be a weird spot to be in. But a team like the Reds, because of how young they are, and, of course, they had to go through a number of years of just being a 100-loss team.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch that.
I don't either.
But they have enough young talent to be a factor for a long time if they can get the pitching to go along with the productive lineup that they have right now.
And I worry what their payroll would be. Are they willing to step up?
The Reds,
yeah, and play with the big boys when it comes to payroll.
Well, that's another frustrating thing with the Cardinals. The Cardinals are 15th in the league in payroll this year.
It went down. I think the payroll went down. So that's the – and after Mazalok said, don't worry, we're willing to spend money, and they did on Contreras and then nothing else, essentially. So, and you know, then you're stuck with a Steven Matz contract. He'd be a great guy to move if you could. But, yeah, there's just a lot of questions.
Here's a line for you, okay?
Okay.
Let me give you a line from this article. There are plenty of them, but the Cardinals lack – relative lack of spending for a team that regularly draws $3 million can be viewed in one of two ways. On one hand, DeWitt and Mozeliak deserve credit for steering clear of the kinds of contracts that can leave an organization hamstrung. On the other hand, DeWitt appears to be an owner willing to spend just enough to keep the team competitive, but no more.
Okay. And it's funny because how many World Series have they won with DeWitt as owner? Two? And they've been to four? Is that right? I mean, I don't know.
I have to look.
Sometimes I feel like it's the sauce of the day. well, the Cardinals aren't playing well, and they didn't really go add to their pitching, so we've got an ownership that barely spends enough just to be competitive when, hell, they've been in four World Series in 12 years. Right. Or what, you know, I mean, not in 12 years. It's more than that, though. In 20 years. They've been to four World Series,
since,
and it's like
2000.
I mean, come on. You know, I'm not yelling at you, by the way.
I get it.
But it's almost as though, oh, well, now all of a sudden the Cardinals really aren't doing much, so now we're just going to – they're not spending the kind of money. And it's like, well, hold on a second.
I understand. But it's been 11 years since 20 – where's the last in the World Series? 2013. So
13.
It's been 10 years since they've been to a World Series.
Yeah.
12 since they've won one. And just in general, I think a lot of the fans' unrest would be different if it was a team that got to the postseason and, hey, I was accustomed to seeing every once in a while you're in an NLCS.
Yes. Now you're just bounced.
You've won one postseason series in the last, like, 9 years.
That's bad. And honestly, my biggest thought to that is it's because you don't have a clear number one pitcher. And I will blame ownership and management for not going out and spending the money for a guy like Max Scherzer. When you had a chance to get a guy like Max Scherzer, you've got to do that. You can't be scared of how much money he's going to make. You have to just simply say, we have everything else in place, but we have to win game one of a playoff series. And when's the last time, and no rip on Adam Wainwright. He's had some good seasons lately. I mean, wasn't he battling in like, was that 21 when he was battling for the Cy Young, or was that maybe 19? I mean, he was like 16-6 or something, if I recall. And but even then, was he the guy that you thought, all right, he's going to go battle Scherzer?
No,
and
you were fortunate. Like, that's the thing. Like, recently, I feel like the Cardinals, and it takes some good breaks and some luck involved to be able to have what it takes to get deep in a postseason or have a season come together. But I feel like some of the Cardinals' recent even successes have been a little
fluky.
I'd go as far as to say fluky, like
that's
winning
fair.
Like 18 in a row 1 year just to make the postseason.
That's
or having
fair.
Adam Wainwright find the fountain of youth and carry a rotation where he's at an age where he should be nowhere close to that.
Exactly.
Having Albert Pujols show up last year.
Amen.
And be such a huge staple of that order when there was really no indication that he had anything left in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been able to make up for some of the deficiencies that have been within the team and some of the bad decisions that Mozeliak has made in piecing it together.
Yeah, and so to me, it just, you're right. You're exactly right on that end. It all comes down to pitching. It always comes down to pitching for me. When you've got an order that has Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado in it, and Jordan Walker, go ahead and include him, who had another hit last night, or did they rule that an error? I believe they kept it as a single. When you've got a lineup that includes those, plus a Tommy Edman, plus a Brendan Donovan that's pretty solid, Lars Nootbaar's decent, of course, Tyler can't stay healthy, DeYoung's having a decent season, and Contreras, who, if he would get back to where he can, to me, you're good enough on the offensive end to make some damage. You're not even close to being good enough on the pitching end to cause damage in the playoffs. You're just not. Last year is the perfect example. You make the playoffs and your opening day starter is a guy you picked up late in the season. So that's the problem for me. That's been, like, we talk about how you've only won one playoff series and you haven't been to a World Series. Well, who's been the number one dominant pitcher they've had minus Wainwright in his old days that they've had since then? Is there maybe I'm missing someone, but
for half a year, Flaherty was,
yeah,
I think it was 19.
Yeah.
He was like the best pitcher in the National League
that's
for
right.
half a season.
I feel like they've kind of just pushed everything onto Flaherty to say, he's our guy. Like, he's the next, whereas Chris Carpenter came along and then it was Adam Wainwright. And before that was Matt Morris, who passed mm-hmm. the ball to Carp, who passed the ball to Waino. And then they just kept thinking. I don't know what kind of a, I don't know where I'm going with that. They kept thinking, okay, well, Waino's going to pass the ball to Flaherty. Well, Flaherty's just not taking it and has been injury-prone and even so not very good except for that second half of the season, essentially. So there again, if they've been waiting on Flaherty, then that's been a major fail. and they just haven't had the next guy to take over after Waino. You kind of thought a guy like Michael Walker, you kind of thought maybe he could be a guy that could do that. You had Carlos Martinez. You had those two guys where you thought, all right, maybe those are the next guys after Waino. Well, it turns out Waino outlived them all. I mean, Walker's pitching well right now. I don't know where Carlos is. Is he in the bigs? I don't even know. But
I think the was it the Dodgers that had signed him? Or maybe that was Alex Reyes.
So you
maybe, I think Carlos might be done.
And you just said another name.
Who they were banking
you
on
just
for
nailed
a long
another
time.
Name. Yeah. Alex Reyes. And I mean, if you look at Alex Reyes, and listen, Carlos Martinez had a couple of pretty good seasons. Michael Walker had a couple of pretty good seasons. So it's not like they were just busts from the get-go, but they certainly weren't the Matt Morris, they weren't the Chris Carpenter, they weren't the Adam Wainwright. And then you expected Alex Reyes to be that guy. He was injured his whole career, except for like 1 year when he turned out to be your closer and went to the All-Star game. And then Jack Flaherty's just never either stayed healthy or pitched well enough to be that guy. So I guess if the idea of the last 10 years is that they've said, well, we've got that guy, he's in our system. Well, you don't. And you still don't. So you need to go spend money on a number one guy, a guy that is a clear cut win every 5 days, and a guy that can take the ball in round one of the playoffs and go win the first game. And then you're okay with Miles Michaelis or Jordan Montgomery. I mean, if you gave me a stud one and then gave the ball to Montgomery in game two and Miles in game three, I'm going to say you got a shot. Knowing your offense has what you've got over there with Arenado and Goldie leading the crew and Jordan Walker hitting like he's hitting. I feel like I'm having an epiphany here. I mean, I really feel like that was it. It stopped with Waino, and they thought with Reyes, they thought with Carlos, they thought with Walker, they thought with Jack Flaherty, they thought we've got the next guy on our system, and none of those guys have been the guy.
You're going to enjoy this.
Oh, boy.
Carlos Martinez is currently pitching in Mexico.
Okay.
Alex Reyes just had his second shoulder surgery, and it was season-ending as far as that variety. So I saw an article
that poor guy.
And researching that, someone going after the Dodgers for signing him.
Mm.
And then Jack Flaherty is a guy with like a 5 or 6 ERA that is going to be gone after this year.
Has hip tightness.
Yeah. And you traded Gallen.
That's the
Alcantara
other thing.
Alcantara has not been good this year, but he was a Cy Young last year. So.
See, that's the other thing.
Bad decisions.
Bad decision. I mean, golly. Zach Gallen. I mean, imagine if you had Gallen and Alcantara in your.
Right. And we go round and round about the outfield. Names that you got rid of. Like, what if you had Adolis Garcia and Randy Arozarena in this outfield with Jordan Walker?
That's right. Bad decisions. Bad decisions. And listen, you're going to make those on occasion.
For sure.
But you haven't made the other way in a long time. You went on a stretch there where every decision you made was right. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, where it was almost humorous that you would bring in Gerald Laird and he'd be the best backup catcher in baseball and be ripping people's shirts off and he was the shredder. And you're just like, where did that storyline come from? But it worked.
Lance Berkman looks like he's washed. He spent a year with the Yankees and was really bad. And like, all right, maybe let him sign with Houston and retire and whatnot and get him. And he's
unbelievable.
Like a 30, 35 bomb guy. And
you just had all those great things occur. Maybe karma caught up. And that's what's happened. Well, it's about time for the karma to move on.
I would say, yeah.
And I know the rest of Major League Baseball is loving this.
I think another standpoint, because the Cardinals went into, was it this past offseason where it's like, all right, finally the Cardinals are going to have some money to spend. They just didn't spend it.
They
didn't go back into the top 10 of spending in terms of your salary. But even if you look at like some of this pitching is coming off the books.
Mm-hmm.
When you got Flaherty coming off, you got
Waino.
Waino's coming off. Do you trust Mozeliak to sign the right guys? Another part of this article from Rosenthal is that they say the Cardinals spend modestly. They don't go for the first tier type of guys. They usually settle in that second tier range. And it goes, the problem for the Cardinals is that their recent modestly priced equivalent was Steven Matz, whom they signed 4-year, $44 million deal, and he's now pitching out of the bullpen. Mozeliak has made a fantastic trade for Goldschmidt, then signed an extension. Same thing with Arenado.
Sure.
But his free agent decisions over the past decade, the latest being Contreras, have been problematic to say the least. Dexter Fowler, $82 million. Mike Leake, $80 million.
Nah.
Brett Cecil, $30.5 million. And we could go on.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt there's flaws. And that's why I said earlier this year, I think it's time for a change. And I will always say that John Mozeliak was one hell of a GM and then president of baseball operations. But I just feel like anything, sometimes a change is necessary and a change is needed. That's the same word, essentially.
My buddy just texted, said, they also traded Lane Thomas, who's now fifth in the NL on average.
He is? Lane Thomas is?
With the Nats.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh. That's a good point. He's hitting .299 with 14 bombs.
That's unbelievable. Their evaluations of guys, that's an issue too. I mean, their evaluations of who was the – I know he kind of fell flat, but who was the dude that went to the Yankees and got himself a car commercial?
The first, Luke Voit.
Yeah, Luke Voit. You know, now I know you had Goldie at first, so Luke Voit wasn't playing first. But it's just kind of funny how they – you have to give this organization credit for having the talent there. It's just now the guys at the top don't know what to do with that talent. They're either giving them away or they're giving the wrong guys away.
They've ridden with the wrong guys.
That's
and
right.
Those that have gotten away have had some pretty good showings.
Well, I don't know how much of that is luck. I don't know how much of that is actual talent evaluation. I don't know. Who knows? Who's the kid, Adolis Garcia, right, that went to Texas?
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody see that?
I didn't know enough about him.
I didn't either. But surely in AAA, he was getting a lot of eyes on him. Or AA Arkansas or wherever. So we've either got a evaluation problem through the system, which may fall on Gersh and Mozeliak, or they're just kind of unlucky right now after years of being really lucky. What comes around goes around. Is
it
baseball?
When did Jeff Luhnow leave?
Oh, my. He was unbelievable. He was such a big part of this Cardinals, those World Series. He was huge. Isn't baseball like that, though? Isn't baseball in general when you get up and you hit a ball 500 miles an hour right at the first baseman for an out? And then you get up the second time and you are so fooled on a slider that you just stick your bat out and you flare one over the third baseman's head for a hit. And now you're 1-for-2, you're hitting 500, and you're the best hitter in baseball. It's like, I don't know. I mean, baseball is just, ugh.
Luhnow left after the Cardinals won the World Series in 11.
Okay. And then we went to one more, is that right?
Went to one in 13, yeah.
What if Albert would have stayed? What if he would have stayed? You see the kind of magic he has in St. Louis. Not that he didn't have some good years.
I wish he stayed for another year this year, man.
I know. Isn't that the truth?
But, yeah, it's hard not to think
along
those lines.
I agree. All right, we got to catch a break. When we come back, I got something pretty funny regarding the NHL. The draft is tonight, starts at 6 o'clock. Blackhawks have 2 picks in the first round. Blues have 3. Hawks, of course, have the 1 with Connor Bedard. But it was kind of a funny thing that happened in Nashville today, which is where the draft is. And I want everybody to hear it because it's really funny. If you want to weigh in, 359-2255. That's 217-359-2255. Nobody really to talk to today on the Tapman's Towing phone line. So we'll just keep to you and I discussing. And then we are going to get to football. Maybe. In the 4 o'clock hour. No, we are going to get to football. Let's do that because I want to go through those rankings of 247. Am I saying that right?
24/7.
Why do I say 247?
You can say either.
But why can't I get it right? I am starting to fall into the trap of my mom that calls it Myers. We've been through this, right? I mean, she will be like, well, we could meet at Myers. And I'm like, is that a family? Oh, you little. Then she says a bad word. I'm like, Mom, it's Meyer. I got to ride with her to Columbia tomorrow, Missouri. I better start being nice. All right, we're back. Some fun NHL stuff. I promise you want to hear this. I know you're not big hockey fans, a lot of you, but this is pretty funny what happened today. We're back. It's The Drive.
Get ready for the most anticipated downtown event of the summer. Street Fest returns July 15th and is bigger than ever. You'll be grooving to the beat when festival favorites hit the stage in front of the Esquire Lounge. Embark on a new culinary adventure, the Downtown Throwdown, to vote on the best pork and mac and cheese in downtown restaurants. Street Fest is sponsored by the City of Champaign, Champaign Park District, The Music Shop, Plan and Marketing, and WMI Automotive. Powered by Champaign Center Partnership. For details, visit ChampaignCenter.com.
What kind of bedside manner would you like your doctor to have? At Roof Doctors, they make sure you feel good about what they can do for you. They make sure they answer all of your questions and feel comfortable about whatever procedure your roof needs. Roof Doctors has helped customers for over 30 years. Randy and Tammy have helped make lives better in our community with their generosity and kindness. Roof Doctors is a company you can trust if you need anything done on your roof. Roof Doctors in Urbana. They make you their number one priority.
Enjoy free yoga at Urbana Park District's Meadowbrook Park each Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. No experience needed. All are welcome. Bring comfortable clothes and your yoga mat or a towel. Instructors can modify the exercises to your experience level. Yoga is a great way to exercise and refresh the mind and soul. Make new friends or bring friends. Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 at Meadowbrook Park. Learn more at urbanaparks.org.
Hi, it's Stevie J, and I've got a Stever offer for you. So maybe you or someone you know in your life needs a battery. Maybe it's a motorcycle battery, even a golf cart battery, boat battery, car or truck battery. It's a battery. From Interstate Batteries, I'll give you $150 toward that purchase. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. They're terrific. Go talk to Mark Martinez. He's at Interstate Batteries, which is on North Madison, Champaign. They're terrific. So go to GoStever.com. If you're not registered, it'll take a minute to sign in, accept offers, and make sure you click that thing, and you'll have a chance at $150 for a battery from Interstate Batteries, all part of our Stever deal. Have to use this within 7 days, and you have to tell me what you thought of your experience. That's all I ask from you. Make sure you get registered if you're not already. GoStever.com. I'm giving you my money. You buy stuff and keep it. Interstate Batteries, all part of our Stever program at GoStever.com. Thanks for listening.
During challenging times, family and health come first. This is Rob Meyer with Provident Financial Group. Many of us have spent the past year feeling a little bit out of control, but there are steps that you can take to plan for a better financial future. Now is the time to take action and create a financial plan that's right for you. Contact us today at 217-366-3456 or online at providentfinancialgroupllc.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Wouldn't it be nice to visit a car dealership where you didn't feel like you were at an auction? Or didn't feel like you were being taken to the cleaners?
I'm going
to
make them an offer he can't refuse.
Welcome to Sarah Champagne. At Sarah, they offer a one-price promise. Every vehicle at a fair price, no negotiation, only the best price. Sarah Champagne, Honda, BMW, GMC, Buick, and Subaru. S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
A little old school here. 5s, tonight's the big night for one sport. It is a big night. Oh, by the way, I need to ask you about who is Steph and Clay? Who are they playing in that golf? In the match. I think it's Kelce and Mahomes.
I think that's
right.
Is
that right? Yeah. You're like, well, why are you asking?
Is that this weekend?
Isn't that usually like during the All-Star break? Like somebody would be brilliant if they would have added something like that.
The match is tomorrow.
Oh, it is tomorrow. Well, shoot. What time?
6 p.m. Eastern, TNT.
Okay. I saw Steph hold out from like 150 or 60 the other day. I don't think it was really? A hole-in-one. Yeah. I think he's a pretty good golfer. I don't know about Clay.
I think it's a good idea, though. You mentioned the week of the MLB All-Star break. We need to get creative. Let's think of some events that we can put there.
That'd be perfect.
To hold our attention, because otherwise it's the deadest period in sports there is.
If I were the UFC and believe me, they're doing fine, I believe, I would have the biggest match of the year, like back when McGregor was hot, or Ortiz, or that's about as far as I can go in terms of knowing Hoist Gracie back in the day. But I would have my biggest match that week. Because isn't the All-Star game usually on a Wednesday? Is that right?
You have the Derby on a Monday and the game on a Wednesday, I think.
Okay. And then the Tuesday.
Or is it back-to-back nights? It might be back-to-back
nights. I think it's back-to-back.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But then going into the Derby and coming out of the All-Star game, there's no games, right? So there's like no games for 4 days minus the All-Star game, of course, and then the Derby. But I think I would pick one of those days that is silent, and I would have my biggest, like if I were a soccer, I would have like a World Cup qualifier. Well, I mean, I can't qualify. You know what I'm saying? Like an exhibition, except don't have Mexico and U.S. do it anymore because it sounds like that's getting a little rough. Maybe have Brazil over. Or go to Brazil and play. You know, I mean, if you're a sport out there, not that soccer needs, I mean, I know it's very popular, but yeah, if you're a sport that would like a little attention, that's perfect.
Yeah. Maybe we can do the Darren Williams, Frank Gore rematch in the ring.
D Will beat him up, didn't he?
He did. D Will just had a birthday. I think he turned, 39?
Why is he not playing still? I mean, Chris Paul's getting ready to play another, like his 48th year. It's like, come on.
It's nuts.
It is crazy. All right, here's what's big tonight. Oh, listen to that sound. Listen to that. Oh, yeah. The Blackhawks are going to get the generational talent to replace generational talents like Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane. Who's the other? Patrick Sharp.
Had Marian Hossa.
Yeah, they had Hossa. I don't put Sharp up there with Toews and Kane, but certainly they've had some unbelievable talent there, won 3 cups for it. Well, tonight they won the lottery a few weeks ago to get the number one pick, and tonight they'll select Connor Bedard, number one, who is a guy that is coming out as one of the more acclaimed hockey players ever. So that'll be interesting for the Hawks. The Hawks also draft later in the first round, they have the 19th pick. They got that from Tampa. So you have two early first-round draft picks for the Chicago Blackhawks, 1 and 19. Of course, hockey, they trade quite a bit, so we'll see if they keep that. I'll get to the Blues in a second, but this was pretty funny. There was an organization, I think it was First Penalty Box or something like that, that was out on the street today in Nashville to ask Nashville people how much they knew about hockey, right? So they stop one guy who's got his hat on backwards. He's got a T-shirt on. He's a young-looking dude. And they start talking to him. And what makes this funny is this is actually the general manager of the Chicago Blackhawks, Kyle Davidson. So understand that going into this interview with Kyle Davidson.
Oh, what's your name and where are you from?
Kyle from Chicago.
From Chicago?
Yeah.
You just visiting?
Yeah.
A
couple times, yeah.
For a Blackhawks game?
Yeah.
All right, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not a lot and 10 being a whole lot, how much would you say you know about hockey?
Probably like, I didn't play professionally or anything, so probably like a 4.
Oh, wow, okay. So,
fan of the sport, I don't know. Some people say I don't know that much, so.
Okay.
Then they show on the screen how many hockey players can you name in like a
Wayne
minute.
Gretzky, Mario Lemieux.
He starts with like the...
Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, Duncan Keith, Brett Seabrook.
Then he starts ripping
Corey
through the Blackhawks.
Crawford, Nicholas Hjalmarsson, Johnny Oduya, Michael Roosevelt, Brian Bickle, Dave Boland, Nick Foligno, Taylor Hall, Andreas Athanasiou.
They just got Foligno and Hall.
Connor Murphy, Seth Jones.
Anytime. That was great. I there were some good names in there. Brian Bickle.
This guy still doesn't know what's the GM.
Roosevelt, was that in there?
Yeah, big Hawks fan.
Yeah, most of the 2010 or 2013 Chicago Blackhawks, were you watching that team?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
What is one change you would make to the NHL right now?
I don't know. I think it's pretty awesome. I don't really have a specific change. I love the game, love where it's at, love the love the players that are in the game, and it's
now this is
it's all good to me.
An honest question. Do you think that the league rigged the draft in favor of the Chicago Blackhawks?
No.
Pretty confident.
I'm very confident.
Okay. All right.
So that turns out to be the GM of the Chicago Blackhawks. That the sound on that was kind of weird. If it was coming through in your car weird, it's because it was just on one. I don't know how to explain it, but anyway,
the left and right.
Yeah. Yeah. So my fault.
Audio.
On that.
Unfortunately, the headphones I was wearing only has the left
through.
So I heard none of the actual talking for most of that. I'm glad I switched headphones there at the end.
I loved it.
Lon was looking at me for reactions to see how I was.
Yeah. And you couldn't hear anything.
I kind of chuckled along, assuming it was pretty funny.
It was incredible that was just kind of funny to, and I mean, that's how it is, right? Like I would know Doug Armstrong, the Blues GM. If he walked in, I'd know who that is. But Kyle Davidson, I think I would be, first of all, I'd be like, that can't be him. Like, why would he be in Philo, Illinois right now? But I think I could get confused by that. But I thought it was pretty funny that they just happened to run into the GM of the Hawks and they don't realize who he is.
It's fun that he played along.
Yeah.
And didn't just be like, no, I can't do this.
He's like, I'm Kyle from Chicago. And he's like, you big Blackhawks fan? He goes, yeah, yeah. And then they said, how much do you know about hockey? And he kind of like said, well, I didn't really play. But, you know, I've been a pretty good supporter of it and a fan. And he's like, although a lot of people say I don't know much about it, you know, because you can already tell there's Hawks fans that probably rip on him for not doing the right thing on certain things. But, yeah, it should be fun. And what a big night. I know we efforted Scott Powers, who writes for the Athletic and covers the Hawks. He's actually going to be in Nashville. So I'm thinking next week, maybe later in the week, we'll get Scott on to ask him about everything. He mentioned Hall. Tyler Hall is a guy that spent Connor McDavid's rookie season. If I've got that right, was it Connor McDavid? Now I could be throwing this off. Anyway, Hall played with him, and then they just traded for him from Boston. Now they're going to pay him a pretty penny. I think it's a $6 million cap, but they're actually going to pay him like $12 million over 2 years. But he will play that left wing with Bedard, and he's a veteran and a guy that can kind of help show Bedard the way, you know, and kind of get him up there. So I don't know that the Hawks are going to be that great next season because they're still, I think, pretty far away. But certainly if you're a Hawks fan and you know you're getting Connor Bedard, how cool is that? I mean, if I told you you're getting the next Mario Lemieux or you're getting the next, well, more like Sidney Crosby or Connor McDavid or a Wayne Gretzky type. I mean, Bedard is not a big kid, but he's unbelievably talented. And I saw a story or two on him back with the lottery day of NHL guys now saying he's got a shot that would rank in the top like 10 in hockey right now at his young age. I mean, he just has a powerful shot, good wrister. He does magic with the puck. So again, the Hawks should be a big night for Chicago, drafting 1 and 19 if they keep it. I'm expecting, and I don't know, I need to check here at the break. Doug Armstrong, the aforementioned Blues GM, he likes to wheel and deal. And he's got 3 draft picks for the Blues this year. They draft number 10 overall. They also draft 25th. Well, they got that from Toronto, and I believe that was for Ryan O'Reilly. And then they got the 29th pick from Dallas via the Rangers. That was part of the Tarasenko deal. So the Blues have 3 picks in the top 29. Of course, there's 32 picks in the first round. And I would imagine Doug Armstrong will be dealing one of those picks and trying to – deal. The Blues are kind of, in fact, it sounded like they had a big deal made with the Flyers, and then Torrey Krug, who's one of their defensemen, declined the trade because he's got a no trade clause. So they're kind of trying to get rid of Krug, who doesn't really fit. But it should be a big night for the Blues as well. They need defensive help. They need and centers. You can't have enough centers. You just can't. I know when they made the trade for Ryan O'Reilly, that was not, I mean, there's been times in the past where I thought, okay, this Blues team can win a Stanley Cup. And they've had teams that have gotten really far and really good teams. But when they got O'Reilly and I knew that you had 4 centers down the line, including Barbie as your 4th center, I thought to myself, this team has a legit shot. And then they go on to win it in 19. And man, that was, of course, that's when I settled down with sports and I haven't gotten mad since.
Yeah.
That's still the best. That is still the best of me saying, you know, I think I'm just going to, like, nothing's going to bother me anymore.
Chill out for a while. No.
Yeah. And then, like, a week later, I was yelling at the TV over something. Because that's what we do. All right, next hour, let's come out with
Big Ten football.
24/7. Did I say it right?
Yes.
That can't be that hard, man. 24/7 over-unders, Big Ten football. Let's go through that, see where Illinois lands in that, and what do we think about it. We'll do that all next. It is The Drive.
Every industry has specialists, like Alan here. He knows radiators.
Radiators. I love them. Don't even talk to me about brakes or fuel lines.
Just radiators.
Radiators.
Sally is a specialist in cakes.
I think pies are an abomination.
Really? Pies?
Yuck.
Then we have Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. You know what they're great at? Appliances. Nothing else. No TVs. No computer printers. No radiators.
Who's got a problem with radiators?
Nobody, Alan. But you can't get one at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World.
Too bad. They're missing out.
I'm Dennis Regan, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. All we do is appliances. And when that's all you do it better than anyone else. Our associates on our sales floors know more about them. Our delivery people are better at installing them. And our technicians are better at fixing them. All right here in Central Illinois. Wow!
I can't believe you don't like pies, though.
What do I look like, some kind of a peasant?
No.
Cakes are really the best
thing. Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
PDR Automotive has now been serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 50 years. To give you some perspective, 50 years ago ended the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and it was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. So what does that mean for you and your vehicle? Whether you need a carburetor overhauled or your new vehicle computer system diagnosed or programmed, PDR Automotive has the experienced, knowledgeable staff that can handle all your automotive needs. Online at PDRauto.com, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Tired of trying to keep up with Old Man Jones and his perfect lawn? Spring Green knows that we can't all spend hours a day creating that perfect shade of green, killing off all that crabgrass, and making sure every insect in the neighborhood doesn't call your lawn home this year. At Spring Green, they take the hassle out of your lawn headache with services such as lawn fertilization, weed control, grub and insect control, lime treatments, and even bush and tree care. Let the experts at Spring Green help you this season. For more information, visit them at spring-green.com. Spring Green, America's neighborhood lawn care team.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Welcome to Sarah Champaign. We can handle all your car repairs on site, including paintless dent repair, bumpers, windshields, everything in between. We have an amazing selection of new or pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Shop from home and buy online or reserve your vehicle before it hits our website or dealership. Sarah Champaign is home of the Sarah One Price Promise, delivering an honest and transparent buying experience. Hurry in or shop online at sarahchampaign.com.
At ABC Heating and Air, it's our promise to help you always be comfortable. Do you need rescued because you're burning hot? Do you need rescued because your air is shot? Call ABC Heating and Air at 352-5400 and let us rescue you from the heat. ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400. Can't you see you need to call me at ABC? Call ABC Heating and Air. That's ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400.
Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he had a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
Hi, this is Chris Jackson with Kramer Siding and Window. And whatever your project, you can count on Kramer Siding to offer you the best products backed by the best warranties in the business and a lifetime of great customer service. And right now, you can save 10% on roofing, sunrooms, and decks, get 15% off gutter helmet, and you can save 25% on preservation siding, windows, and doors. So call today or visit us at kramersiding.com and let's get started on your project.
You're listening to WSJK ESPN 93.5 Tuscola Champaign.